Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. If you have questions about a professionally managed retirement portfolio, take a look at these carefully designed programs on InvestTalk.com. KPP Financial's newest investment program is called Disciplined Equity. It focuses on growth for maximum returns. This strategy offers consistent exposure to the equity markets by focusing on only high-quality companies listed on the U.S. exchanges. Click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com to find out more. End of commercial. And now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is May 13th, and by the way, that means it's Friday the 13th, 2016. I appreciate you being with me. Now, when's the last time you shopped at a major department store chain? One of the big guys, Macy's, Nordstrom's, Robinson's, whatever ones are out there. I don't shop, so I can't. That's not what I do. But what customers is Macy's targeting? Looks like the millennials. Department stores and other players in the retail industry are focusing on millennials. Why? Those are the age of 16 to 34 because those are the people that spend the most money in shopping. So, of course, they want to focus on the local taste of those millennials in the various parts of the country. And for Macy's and Kohl's, doesn't look like it worked very good. Now, what was interesting is out this morning was the April retail sales report. We had Macy's and Kohl's report sales and earnings this week, and they were very poor, very disappointing. This morning, we had retail sales for April come out. And retail sales was up 1.3%, much better than expected. And it obviously didn't happen at the big box stores. It's happening at Amazon or other online. What you need to pay attention to is things are changing in the retail chain of delivery to customers. It's no longer the same old big box stores. They're still being used. Don't get me wrong. I'm not predicting their demise. I am predicting a hard time ahead for them because I don't think it's going to change. I don't think that's going to change. So this week, I talked about that in our newsletter, our premium newsletter. That was today, came out today. I also talked about, you know, current market conditions and what's going on with the Fed and the latest thinking that the Fed is contemplating what to do with interest rates. And I talked about the, you know, corporate earnings and sales that we've been seeing. In the stock idea section of that newsletter, we gave a couple of major stocks, a pharmaceutical distribution company and another major company. In the portfolio manager section, we talked about one of the hardest things is for people to admit to when you come to investing, that they made a mistake. You picked the wrong stock or stocks or fund. Admitting to making this, you're going to make mistakes. Warren Buffett makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. How to deal with them? That's in the portfolio management section. Consumer Watch, I talked about, you know, every credit card out there wants your business, right? Every credit card company wants your business. And of course, there's a reason for that. These banks make a fortune off your debt. Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and others, they make a fortune. So they're fighting very hard to get your business. And so hard that they're starting to bribe me and you, the customer. You know what? I say we let them bribe us. So in that section, Consumer Watch section, I talked about credit cards and the cash back deals are out there. Which ones are the best? I kind of like that. You can get our newsletter for $9.99 a month. It comes out every Friday if you want. It's called our premium newsletter. Go to investtalk.com, scroll down to the button, bottom of the page, and you can get it. Right now, it's time to hear what's on your mind on this Friday. I want to hear your questions on any money topic that comes to mind. So let's check in with the 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART. Again, it's any time number.
Hello, Steve. This is Raphael from Jersey. I had a question regarding Apple. I know Tim Cook was saying he has a project in the pipeline, but I was wondering, with all that built-up cash overseas, how would they actually fund a project or a major acquisition or something? What would be the purpose of constantly holding the cash overseas in fear of, I guess, double taxation. But it has to do something with the cash eventually, right? What would they do? Because the stock is trading so cheaply. You know, I'm thinking an acquisition would have to come at some point. All right. Well, that was my comments. Thank you very much. Learned a lot. Have a great day.
Okay, well, what they have done in the past recently, not that far long ago, they borrowed money to pay dividends here in the U.S., and that's because the cheap money was so cheap, so they could use that money as collateral. If they were going to buy a company, well, maybe they'll buy a European company. You know, who knows? You know, a company, and I don't know all the tax ins and outs of issues when you buy something. And I have a feeling that Apple's going to do something with all that money. I don't know what it's going to be. But they may wait till we get a change in our political scene here, hoping for, you know, bringing back cash to the U.S. with, you know, with a one-time deal that maybe the government will allow a lot of foreign companies to bring money, much of that money back with a much lower tax rate. You never know. You never know. I have a feeling there's going to be some changes. And I think Apple is going to do something. I just don't know what they're going to do because they are cheap. The stock is selling at a 10 PE. It's a $90 stock, and it's going to make $9.15 a share next year. So you can't. It's just getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and eventually something's going to happen. Now, if you thought that the iPhone and their sales were going to tank because there's a new competitor out there and they can't compete, then that's a whole different story. But I don't think that's the story. I don't think so. We'll see. We happen to own Apple in our stock managed accounts, have for some time. Let's talk to James in New York. How you doing, James?
I'm doing good. How are you tonight, Steve?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
I wanted to know, I bought this stock a little while ago. I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. RCII. And it was doing okay. It was at, I bought it at around $13.50, and I increased my position again at $14.50. And in the last couple of weeks, it's taken a bit of a beat down, especially this week particularly. But, you know, I think that's maybe a result of the market correction. It has nothing to do with the stock itself necessarily. They announced earnings a couple of weeks ago, too. I believe it was 48 cents per share, 8 cents above what they projected for this quarter. Last quarter. But, you know, is the stock still of, you know, of good value to keep, or is it something that it's time to move on?
No, I think you keep it. It's RCII, everybody, Rental Center, Inc., out of Plano, Texas. Operates and franchises 2,672 stores offering furniture and electronics in the United States, Canada, Mexico, and Puerto Rico. And the reason why I'm suggesting JG keep it, because it is so darn cheap. Okay, it's going to make $2.02 this year per share when it made $2.03 last year. So that caused the stock, you know, for the last year, kind of no one really was finding much interest in it. It's going to bounce up to $2.11 next year. And sales are not strong. There's no big growth engine here. So you don't. There's no reason for companies to say, hey, I need to jump on this bandwagon. It does pay 2.5% dividend, which is decent. And it's a 7 PE. It's a $12 stock selling it and going to make $2.11. So very inexpensive. I don't think you get rid of it because there's going to be a lot of support around $12.30 and then a ton of support coming in at $9.90, $10. So there's where your strong support is. And if you're patient, you'll be rewarded. But it is cyclical, James. So that means if the economy starts to fall, this will fall with it no matter how cheap it is. But it's not in danger of going out of business or anything. Cash flow is $17 a share. It's huge. It does have a bit of debt, but it's got a huge cash flow too. So I don't think that's really a worry. So it depends on how.
Do you think this year we might see it hit 20? I was going to sell at 20 if it gets to that this year.
Well, it technically speaking, when you're looking at a chart, it should get to about 23.50, filling a gap, even as high as 25. It should get back up there, but it could take all year to get there. You know,
right.
And it could be into next year before it gets there. If we go into recession, it's not going to get there until after the recession. But technically that's where it should go. And at $24 a share, that means the stock is only selling for like a 12 PE. It's not going to even be expensive then. You know, so I think I would hold on to it and just be patient. I think I would. James, appreciate the call. Thank you. So what are we going to talk about today? Because we really didn't go over our talking points. Well, we're going to talk about how to build a portfolio. It's going to be one of our main talking points. How to build an all-stock portfolio, not mutual funds, not ETF. Okay, what do you need to do as an individual? And you know, you've heard me before say many, many, many times that I think most people who have the interest and spend a little time can do it. They can. You can build your own portfolio. You can. Also, I want to talk about treasuries. You know, they've been rallying lately, but the stock market hasn't. That means when the treasury's rallying, that means interest rates are falling, the rates. And usually when that happens, the market goes up, stock market goes up. It's not doing it this time. And I also want to talk about, you know what GAAP is, G-A-A-P, General Accounting Principles. Companies are not transparent with their earnings reports. They're using GAAP, but there's some tricks they're using. And you realize that they're supposed to report these earnings to their shareholders, and they're not being clear. They're being very... The numbers are all right. Well, I want to get into that. The numbers are correct, but I want to talk about some of the ways they make it confusing, so you're not sure what they're saying. You know how you can lie with statistics? You can give people all kinds of numbers, and they'll be exactly right, and you blurred the picture. You're not sure what the picture is, the overall picture. And that's what corporations are doing. A lot of them are playing those games. A lot of them. So just want to let you know. Had a question came in today. I have a question regarding gold. That was an email that sent to me. I want to add a position with exposure to gold, but wondered if I'm best to buy an ETF related to the physical gold, or would it be best to buy an ETF which is exposed to gold miners? Well, the miners. If you're going to play gold, if you think it's going to go up, you don't buy physical gold. You buy the miners, the ETF for the miners. Why? Because they're leveraged to gold. You know, because that's what, you know, their profits go up when gold goes up. And so take a look at any mining, gold mining company out there. Look at the recent move up here this year. Look at the percentage move up of gold prices and look at the percentage move up on the miners, and you'll see why I'm telling you to buy the miners. It's very, very obvious. Miners move up much faster than the gold price. Always have, always will. Now, they also move down much faster. So don't get too excited. See, there's always two sides of the coin here. So don't get too excited just because I've told you the miners move up so much faster. Well, they move down too. Gotta be careful.
We continue now with this Friday, May 13th InvestTalk. It's the first step in getting your retirement portfolio in sync with your risk tolerance. Our free award-winning risk analysis tool is there for you to use on investtalk.com. And now, use your phone. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach Steve on InvestTalk.
Hey, how's it going? This is JP. I have a quick question about a dividend payout. What I understand, you pay the dividend. Say it's a $32 stock paying $1 each quarter, the stock value would go down to $31 the day they pay the dividend. So my question is, how do you actually gain from that? Because wouldn't that be the equivalent of me, say, grabbing $1,000 out of your bank account and handing it to you, where, yes, you do have the $1,000 now, but the value of your bank account went down? Great show, and I'll listen on the podcast. Thanks again.
So he's asking, if the dividend is $1 a share and the stock is $32 or $31, and when they do pay the dividend, the stock goes to $30, drops $1 when they pay you $1. And that's exactly what happens. The stock will go down the amount the dividend's paid, the amount of the dividend paid. And he's saying, well, that's not really getting us ahead, is it? No, it really isn't. It's just the company is just giving you some of the money it made. It's giving you, the shareholder, some of the money that it earned. Okay? So it doesn't really, you know, it's neither helping or hurting you as far as the value of that company, because you're moving it from the pocket of the company to your personal pocket. But isn't that why you own companies? To make profits? Well, some people like companies that pay dividends because they want the profits in their pocket. Some companies want to just have the company grow and don't want the dividend because they want the company to grow and hope the stock price continues to go up because of the growth. So you have to look at different stocks for different reasons. But in answer to your question, you are absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's just moving from the pocket of the company to your pocket. And remember, the company pocket is your pocket because you own it. But it's just transferring from the corporation to you. And it's even worse than that, by the way, I have to tell you this, because the corporation pays income tax on their earnings, right? And then when they give that dividend to you, individually, you got to pay tax on it again. You're taxed twice. Because remember, you own the corporation. So you're taxed there. Then when you take the money and put it in your pocket, you're taxed there too. That doesn't seem quite right to me. Why should both entities be taxed? But many parts of the world is not, you know. Many countries. You wonder why, you know, there's companies that want to, you know, go to to reformulate their company in another foreign country. Well, because almost all the time, the tax rate is less. They have more, they're much more friendly to corporations. They don't necessarily tax them twice on both the corporate earnings and the dividend. I mean, there's reasons. We are not that competitive in the world when it comes to formulating a corporation and writing its books. Now, I will say we are the most entrepreneurial of most of the countries around the world. We are. There's others that are also, but that's because of the people. But the government is not that friendly to corporations. Just not. Not the U.S. government. 888-99-CHART. The market was down today. I never mentioned that at the top of the show. The Dow was down 185 points. The Nasdaq was down 20. And the S&P down 18. And that means it turned into a downer week. Before today, the market was kind of flat. Had a big up day. Had a big down day. The rest of the days were, yeah. But today, they're kind of down. And it just, we just have a weak market. It's weak. What can I tell you? It's weak. Earnings were not good. You know, world economic activity is slowing. The IMF, you know, downgraded world growth in the last few weeks ago. And every country in the world except us are embarking on QE or some way to reduce their currency so they can try to export their way out of their slump. We're talking about, you know, negative interest rates in Japan, negative interest rates out of Europe. And China this week announced a huge spending program on infrastructure. Well, aren't they already having huge problems with debt? And this spending program, isn't that going to cause more debt? Do you think they're going to use their cash hoard? I doubt it. They're going to borrow money to do that. That seems like they just kicked the problem down the road to me. Just an observation. Had an email question, another one today. Had a lot of them today. I have a question about fundamentals. If a company has a very high PE ratio, such as Amazon, what other fundamentals should company strength, to show company strength, should you look at? How do you justify a high PE? What are the main differences between PE ratios and price to sales ratios, price to cash flow? Those are all different kind of metrics to look at. High PE ratios are associated with high growth. And that's as close as I can get. Low PE ratios are associated with big blue chip, slow moving, slow grow or no growth companies. Okay, but PE ratios are just one thing. Return on equity is a very good metric to look at. Price to sales is just the price of stock to how much sales. You want to see a high price of sales. You know, you want the more sales, more and more sales into the price of the stock. The more sales, the better, right? You know, and you want to look at profit margins. Margins on a high growth stock should be much higher than margins on a low growth stock. usually are. A low-growth stock usually pays a high dividend. These are old blue chips companies that have been around a while. Just some of the things you got to look at. We're glad you're glad with us today for InvestTalk, everybody. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. And now there's a new way to get in touch between programs. If you have a question or comment, text us. Just text your message to 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, and we'll answer your question on InvestTalk or by text reply if you wish. We are now text accessible, 888-99-CHART. And now we get back to InvestTalk, made possible each day by KPP Financial. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is easy to reach right now at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Mish in San Jose. How you doing, Mish?
Yeah, hi. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
I just wanted your opinion on a stock, Ulta Cosmetics, ULTA.
Okay. Do you want to buy it?
Well, I bought it around 208, so I just wanted to know, like, maybe a year, you know, is it a good growth company,
It is a high-growth company. Ultra Salon Cosmetic and Fragrance. It is a high-growth company. Operates 874 beauty stores in 48 states, offering hair care, cosmetics, and other products and salon services. It's growing its sales 20-plus percent, 21, 22% every quarter for the last 8 quarters in a row, right in that range. So it's doing quite well, and earnings are growing 20% also. Thus, the company selling at $205 is going to make $7.24 next year. So it's a very high P.E. Well, because it deserves a high P.E., because it's growing very fast. This is the definition of a growth stock, Mish. It's high growth, high P.E., but also, whenever you have a high P.E. and high growth, you also have high risk, because if it misses its numbers just once, the stock will get crushed. So just be very aware of that. And is it worth $205, you know, it's making $7.24? Well, if you use the growth rate of 20 and multiply that out by the P.E. ratio, you only get about $140, $150 stock. It's pretty overvalued, Mish. I would not be an owner of this stock because it's too overvalued. Not because it's not a great company, because it is. It's a great company. It's doing very, very well. It's a $13 billion company. It's doing very, very well. But it's just too pricey for me at 9x book value. It's just too expensive for my tastes. Okay? But Mish, it's a good company. I would be, if it breaks below, if I were you, breaks below $200, I'd be out.
Okay.
Thanks, Got Mish. It. Appreciate it. Mike, San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
I was wondering if you can look at VMware and give me your opinion, please.
Sure. VMware is out of Palo Alto in the Silicon Valley. It provides virtualization software enabling organizations to run multiple operating systems on a single computer. It's a $25 billion company. It's not small. They're going to make $4.16 this year. That's 2% more than last year. And then another 6% next year, growing its sales between 5 and 10%. So its sales growth has kind of slowed down. It's no longer the growth company it used to be. It's still the growth company by definition, but it's not the high growth company. So it doesn't deserve high PEs like we just talked about on the salon store. But it deserves a better than market PE. It's going to make $4.42. So that means the PE with a stock at $57, $58 is pretty low for this company. So it's probably worth more like in the $65 to $70 range instead of the $57 range. So I could see you. Do you own it already, Mike?
Yeah, I bought it today, actually.
Okay, I think it's worth more. And it should get up to that, it should cover the gap. There's a gap up to $68 a share. They should cover that gap. The thing you have working against you is the timing of the market, where we're moving in, closing slowly, moving into the summertime, where stocks have trouble moving up. You know, they just do. But it should, it's worth more than it's priced at right now. It really is. It's a good company.
And as far as chart looks, got some upward momentum.
Yeah, it does now, because it hit bottom back in February and around 44, and now it's at 57. And it's right in a lot of resistance. And the next move, if it can break through that resistance, it should go right up to $68. If it can break through that resistance.
Once.
Okay?
Good enough. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mike. The big question is if it breaks through. And you're fighting the market right now. But stocks go up and down markets, too. You just got to be in the right one. Here's a text message. I was hoping you could provide the this is what the message says. A text message. I was hoping you could provide the requirements, regulations of buying an investment property inside a Roth IRA. Also, is it possible to purchase it inside a Roth if it will be held in the name of my LLC and not my personal name that's listed on the Roth? Now, that's a very complex question. Sounds simple, but it's not. Buying properties out of IRAs is very, very problematic. You can do it, but you have to go to a specialty company that will hold your IRA with property in it. And there's lots of rules and regulations you have to follow. One of which is, you know, this situation with the property ownership that you're talking about. You know, LLC, personal name. You got, that's all spelled out in the law, how you can do that. So you got to be really, really careful. You need to talk to a CPA who kind of has knowledge in this area, and you need to open up the Roth IRA or the regular IRA at a firm that specializes in doing exactly what you do, what you're suggesting. So it's not as simple as you might think. Okay? Difficult. It's difficult. But it's doable. I had a client just recently do it, so I know it's doable. How to build a stock portfolio. You can do it as an individual. Not, you know, how do you do it? How to build it? These are basic building blocks and basic questions. One of the things you do have to do before you can start is to carve out some time for studies, for some, you have to analyze certain things. You have to understand how to do that. I'm not talking about getting deep in the numbers and talking to the employers and at the company and then talking to their competitor. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about set aside time to read all the articles about the company that you're looking at. Read about the numbers, the earnings and growth and what products it makes. And use some parameters when you're choosing a stock. You know, for instance, look at the management team of the company. Has it been in place for a long time? Is it brand new? What has been their history of growing their company if they've been there a while? Look at their product lineup. What kind of products do they sell? Are they products and services that will always be in demand? Or can technology swamp them, a new competitor come along? Do they have a competitive edge of some kind? Do they have a unique product or service of some kind? Make sure the profit margins are high and remain high and have been steady or growing, not shrinking. And if you're going to build a portfolio, you need to hold between, I'd say, about 15 to 30 stocks. You can't do it with just three stocks. That's not building a portfolio. That's rolling the dice with three stocks. You need a portfolio spread over different sectors, not all in the same sector. You should have, you know, there's a number of sectors. You had spread. You have to have spread. Helps diversify your risk, you know, that you're taking. And be choosy what companies you have. Don't just buy something because someone said it. Never, ever, ever buy a stock because of a stock tip. Don't buy Cramer's stocks. He's not analyzing the company. He's just doing a quick show trying to entertain you. Don't buy your friend's tip or your brother-in-law or your father-in-law or your golf buddies. Don't buy stocks because what they say. And finally, know yourself. Know what kind of risk tolerance you can handle. What kind of personality you have. Can you buy something and hold it for a while and just ride through the hard times? Or are you one of these guys that, you know, guys or gals that have to get in and out, in and out, in and out? In and out, in and out means you're going to lose money. Just letting you know. That's one of the reasons why women are better investors, by the way. They don't mind. Men, I think, have this mentality of like hunters. They're hunting for it. They're going to get it and bring it back to the cave, right? The caveman days. Women, same caveman days. The cave woman stayed in the cave, was very patient, was willing to sit, raise the children so they can sit and raise their stocks. They are more patient. Men are not. That's just a generalization which tends to be true. It's not always true. Tends to be true. And that's by my personal observation over the umpteen bazillion years I've been doing this. When you join our Invest Talk Insider program, you get free anytime access to all sorts of useful information. There's our library of recorded webinars. That's one example. If you'd like to know more about charting, we've got a number of easy-to-read documents on charting. So you can get that. All you do is sign up. You can do it for free. It's signing up for free. There's no cost. There's no big questionnaire or anything like that. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
You can get a no-charge, no-obligation retirement portfolio review with Steve. This is available to a limited number of our listeners and subscribers. He'll be in San Jose May 25th for these individual one-hour informal meetings. For podcast listeners and others out of reach of our California offices, you can meet with Steve via Skype or telephone on May 31st. To schedule your time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to Bond and let's go talk to Don in the Bay Area, and he wants to talk about bonds. How you doing, Don?
Yeah, really well. Yourself?
Good. I appreciate your call.
All right. Been looking at some bonds, trying to figure them out, and I saw one that was mentioned that it was callable at 100 or make whole. Now, wouldn't 100 make whole? Let's say it's a bond that you pick up for $995 or something. Wouldn't you get, or at maturity, wouldn't it be $100?
Well, what they're trying to do, you're talking about par value, okay? What they're trying to tell you is it's probably callable at par value. I'm a feeling. Because par value can be expressed in 100, it could be expressed at 1,000, it could be expressed at 10,000, par value. So they're saying if the bond goes to par, they can call it. Okay, that's what it sounds like you're describing to me. So callable for everybody else means that you can buy the bond. Let's say you buy a 5-year bond, it pays you 3% per year or 5% per year, but they can call it, meaning they can buy it back from you at a certain point. Usually, Don, it's expressed in a time frame too. Over, you know, they can call it after 2 years. Did you see that too? Was there a time?
Yes. It was. I was looking at whatever the time frame I was interested in at the time.
But I
currently own a bond that I purchased for a substantial discount. To par.
Okay.
At maturity, if I hold it to maturity, and the company's still in business, it's rigged, if I hold it to maturity, I would be getting $100 $1,000 per share, although I purchased it at a discount. Is that a correct statement?
That is a correct statement, except you said per share, that bonds are not shares. Okay, but that is a correct statement. Okay. It is going to go back to par at maturity, okay?
Okay.
So no matter, it can go above par before maturity, right? You bought it below par, which is nice because now you know you get your interest rate, whatever it's paying, plus you get the capital appreciation when it goes to par, when you hold it to maturity.
And if I figured things correctly, the statement of make worst or something like that, the worst yield or whatever, held to maturity, that means that, yeah, they're paying the whatever dividend, or whatever interest yield, that they say.
Right.
But if you hold it to maturity, since they're going to pay you up into to par, that then ultimately gives you this really big return.
That's right. That is exactly right. And that's why bonds can be, Don, can be volatile, because they can sell at a discount or a premium to par. And so they move. You know, if you bought it at a discount or a premium, they're going to move up or down. Yeah.
It's definitely been an education watching this thing.
Yeah. Don, thanks for the call. I really appreciate the call. Thank you. Good question good question on bonds, everybody. Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay?
Yeah, hi, Steve. Steve, I had a question on Amazon.com. I wanted to know what is a good price to buy.
Boy, that's a tough one, because Amazon's doing so well. This is a really high growth stock. And, of course, Amazon's taken, we talked about earlier in that show about how their, online's taken away, the big box store sales. And so Amazon is growing 28% sales in the last quarter. It's going to grow its earnings 300% this year and another 80% next year. So what's a good value? Selling for $709 and going to make $9.78. So that tells you that the thing is selling for well over, close to 200, 300 PE? That's really expensive. So what's a good price? Well, I think you just have to buy it on a pullback and not worry about the price, because the sales growth, there is no way to value it logically, because it's doing so well. I mean, it's selling for 25 times book value. It's super overvalued. So I think you just wait for a nice, decent pullback, and then you pull the trigger. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Jason in Seattle. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, thank you for taking the call. Yeah, I would like to ask you about the company called FireEye. Mm-hmm. What do you think the company is?
Just out of curiosity, what brought your attention to FireEye?
No, it's just that the stock looks pretty low right now. Yeah.
Okay. FireEye Inc., everybody. It's out of Milipitas, California, in the San Jose area. Develops machine-based security platforms providing real-time protection to enterprises and government worldwide. Okay? So it's protecting computers and systems and stuff. It's a $2.1 billion company. So it's, it's not tiny. It's moving on to close to the mid-cap company. My problem with this company is never made any money. In all the years, it's lost money every year. Sales growth is pretty steep. 34% last quarter, 29% the quarter before that, 45% the quarter before. So sales are growing very fast, but they haven't been able to turn it around and make a profit yet. And we're talking, 8-9 years losing money every year. So the stock has fallen sharply. It used to be selling at, the high it was in 2014 at $97 a share. Today, it's $12.78. So those people who bought it at 90s are been crushed. I would not buy this stock because I don't buy companies that don't make money. It's one of my rules, Jason. Buy companies that make money. This one doesn't make money. It's projected to lose money this year and projected to lose money next year. There's no projections for it to ever make money. So I would stay away from it. It looks cheap, but that's only because it's a $12.78 stock, and that's a low price. And it looks cheap because it used to be 97 a couple of years ago. It's 55 last year. Well, it deserves to be at $12.78 because it doesn't make any money. Matter of fact, that's a high price for something that doesn't make any money. So I would stay away from it. Okay? Here's the next text question. 888-99-CHART, of course, is where you can text a question there. Hi, I've held Starbucks for quite some time, and it's done very well. Earnings are projected to keep growing. Do you see the stock price continuing up? At what levels would you sell? Thank you for the great show and the advice. I listen on the podcast. Now, Starbucks is SBUX is the symbol. SBUX, and just to give you, it has been a very strong company for quite some time. And it depends on your horizon. Why did you buy it? Did you buy it for growth? Because if you bought it for growth, it's no longer going to be a growth company. It's an $82 billion size company. This is going to, it's turned into a big blue chip stock company that has growth. And, you know, it's going to grow, it grew its sales 9% last quarter, 12% the quarter before that. It's going to hang around that 5 to 15% growth area, I would say, and moving towards slower and slower growth because it's so big already. It's, you know, it's got 23,000 coffee shops worldwide. How many more thousands can they put out there? You know, the market gets saturated and it can't grow. It's going to make $2.19 next year. So that means the PE is like, what, 25? The five-year average PE is 22 to 39. So it's not that expensive compared to its average. But I think it's getting very close to being saturated. And as far as the stock price, I do not expect it to grow the price of stock like it has in the past years. I think you're going to see a slowdown now. It's maturing, and you're just going to have to be, you know, it pays 1.4% dividend. You're going to have to hope it pays a higher dividend, but don't expect it to take off like it has. Just not going to happen. Okay, treasuries are rallying, but the stock market isn't. Usually when U.S. treasuries rally, that means that the interest rates go down. Despite the Fed's effort to raise rates, the rates have actually gone down. And when rates go down, that's usually positive for the stock market. But that's not happening now. What is that telling us? Is that telling us, according to JP Morgan, they're saying it's time to sell your cyclical stocks. That's kind of code for saying, get out of the market. That's what JP Morgan is saying. It's kind of code. Sell your cyclical stocks. Meaning that we're late in the cycle, the economic cycle, maybe we're going to turn down, that kind of thing. Our time is up. Before we go, I want to announce a new way to get in touch with us between programs. If you have a question or comment, you can text us. Just text your message to 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, and we'll answer your question on InvestTalk or by text reply if you wish. We are now textable, accessible. 888-99-CHART. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And with Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's do it again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.